Okay, well, this will be a start of a new series. It's not a book study this time, but it's going to, basically what I'm going to be trying to do over the next couple of months or so, I haven't figured out how far I'll take this, but I'm going to basically be answering common questions that Christians often have on various topics. And so place we'll be starting today is talking about spiritual gifts. So if you would please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When you're talking about spiritual gifts, that's a good place to start. These are burning questions that Christians often have about some things in the Bible that they find perplexing or for which they just need some biblical confirmation. Maybe they're trying to settle a matter in their heart. Spiritual gifts today. This is a topic that often brings up questions, isn't it? Now, God, the Bible says that our God, the God of the Bible, 1 John 5:7, is eternally existent as the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's what the Bible says. We don't have to explain it. We don't have to prove it to anyone. That is what the Bible says. And you either just believe it, you believe the Bible, or you don't. Okay, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, these three are one. John 1 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, they called his name Jesus. Jesus is the name given to God manifest in the flesh, who suffered and bled and died upon the cross to pay for our sins. 3 days and three nights later, he rose from the dead. Well, praise the Lord. After showing himself alive, after many infallible proofs, he led his disciples out to the Mount of Olives. He ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. But he said, the Lord Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. I will send you another comforter. And he sent to live inside the believers the Holy Spirit. So right now, the Father is on his throne in heaven. The Son is at the right hand of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is on earth living inside believers. The Holy Spirit, he's not out there floating around somewhere. He's not everywhere. He's not a force. He's not nature. He is living inside saved people. Amen. Now, if that weren't good enough, and it is, to have God the Holy Spirit living inside us, when he came to live inside, he brought with him gifts that he gave to everyone in whom he lives. Gifts to help them live the Christian life. Isn't that incredible? It's an amazing thing. Now, there's no illustration that I could give that would not tend to cheapen what we're talking about, but we'll give it a try. Here's what I'll say. There are many things in your life that you may have joined or that you can join. It might be a travel club. It might be a points club. Through a credit card, it might be a social club or a civic club in your community. And what they say is, if you'll join now, we'll give you a free handbag, for example. If you'll join now, we'll give you a free travel pillow. If you'll join now, we'll give you 5,000 bonus points. Okay, you've all seen those kinds of offers. Well, it's as if the Lord is saying, salvation, eternal life, sins forgiven, a home in heaven, and if you'll join now, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. But wait, there's more. The Holy Spirit will give you gifts to help you live the Christian life just for getting saved. So that's what we're talking about here. I want to read it carefully today. We'll look at four places in our Bible and hopefully will help you understand not only how great it is to be saved, but what God has done for you now that you are saved, to help you, help me, and to help me help you. Okay, so let's pray and then we'll take a look here. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We thank you for that you promised and you kept your promise, and that he lives inside of each of us that have believed upon you. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us gifts that will help us to live the Christian life. Please show us, Lord, something today concerning these gifts. Show us your truth from the Holy Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, hopefully you're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. There the Bible says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Okay, so he says in verse 2, think about what you were without Jesus. Okay, think about the dumb things that you did and the dumb things that you believed and the dumb ways that you acted. You say, well, dumb here means that they can't speak. I understand that, but isn't it dumb to bow down to a dumb idol, a piece of wood or metal that can't speak? It's pretty foolish to live like we lived before we got saved. Verse 3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." Okay, now if you just want to put something at the top of the list of dumb things that you did before you got saved, how about cursing Jesus? Why do people curse Jesus? What has he ever done to them? He's the only hope they've got. He's the only one who loved them enough, had the power enough to forgive all of their sin. And they curse him? They don't curse Allah. They don't curse Muhammad. They don't curse Buddha. They don't curse Confucius. Why do they curse Jesus? I guess it's because they're dummies. They're just led about in the darkness. Anyway, then it says, "And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Now, verse 4, verse 1 started that way. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, verse 4, "Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." Okay, so let's look at this. Everyone who is saved, from the front row to the back row, everyone who was saved, when the Holy Spirit came to live inside you, he gave you gifts. Now, listen, that means God gave you some things when you got saved that you did not already have. Okay, right? Makes sense. Okay, it means that God provided you with some abilities that you didn't have before you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay, isn't that a blessing to know that? Okay, now here's what I'll say. You are going to hear, as a Christian, preaching about going and doing something that the Bible tells you to do. And you might say, well, that's just not me. Well, yes, but keep in mind, you are more now than just you. When you come here, hear the preaching, you're going to hear some things from the Bible that say, stop doing that. Right? And you're going to say, well, but I'm too weak. I could never stop doing that. But you are more now than just you. See, the Holy Spirit has come to give you and provide you with things needed for the Christian life that you didn't have before you were a Christian. This is why we don't go out and preach to drunkards preaching, stop drinking. They may not have the power to stop drinking. Okay? We don't go out and say to the adulterers and the adulteresses, stop living after the lusts of your flesh. They doubtless have no power to stop living after the flesh. But we do tell them, Jesus saves. If you will trust Jesus as your Savior, He will forgive your sins. And as soon as they're saved now, we begin to teach them how to live the Christian life. Because now, there has been given them the necessary gifts to be and to do what they never could be and never could do without the Holy Spirit. Notice also that these gifts are diverse. Every saved person doesn't have the same gifts. Let's suppose that this afternoon, just for the sake of discussion, let's suppose that there are 12 spiritual gifts. I'm not saying there are. Look, just suppose. And then the Holy Spirit just says, you have number one, you have number two, you have number three, you have number four. Okay, and so on and so forth. So in our congregation, there would be maybe three people with gift number five and three people with gift number eight. And okay, so then he says, everyone that has the same gift doesn't use it in the same way. Same gift, but they use it in a different way. Okay, that's what it's talking about here. There are differences of operations. And everyone who has a gift and everyone who has the same gift doesn't necessarily have the same opportunity to use that gift. The Lord may give three men in our congregation the gift of evangelism. Their gift is explaining the gospel to lost people, persuading them to trust Christ as their Savior, and leading them to the Lord. Well, isn't that a blessing? He might send one of those men to Guam. He might send another one of those three men to Kuwait City. And the third one, he might just have them go around the neighborhood here and sell me and knock on some doors. Same gift, different administration of that same gift. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and this is so important, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to make us all alike. It's not to make us all conformed to each other. It's to make us all able to be conformed to Jesus Christ. It's a waste of your life to sit there and say, oh, I wish I could do what Brother Bob does. The Holy Spirit would never, never make you me. One of me is plenty, amen? And to hear somebody sing and you say, oh, I wish the Lord had given me that. I wish the Lord had made me that. No, He's not going to make you that. He doesn't need five identical people in one congregation. He needs a great variety of people in any congregation. And we'll see why in just a moment. So the purpose of these spiritual gifts, it's not to make us all like each other, but to make us all better Christians. Okay, let's read some more here. Verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Very important word there, with all. Now look, every man, where's the profit in that statement? The profit is in all, okay? Not in every man. So this afternoon, the Holy Spirit has given Eric get certain gifts when he got saved, okay? And Michael got gifts when he got saved. And Brother James got gifts when he got saved. And he didn't give them gifts to help them, you understand? He gave them gifts to help the rest of us, okay? My gifts are for your benefit. And your gifts are for my benefit. Now, if I don't manifest my gift, that is, I don't make use of my gifts, you cannot become the full, complete Christian that God wants you to be. Why? Because it takes all the gifts, and I've only got one. Okay, and you've got one, and you've got one, and you've got one, and you've got one, and we need all of them. Okay, and but we all have different gifts. So I need you to manifest yours, and I need you to manifest yours, you to manifest yours, and you need me to manifest mine, or else we're all going to come short of what God wants us to be. Now, if you take your gift and you go home, if you take your gift and you choose not to get involved, you say, well, it doesn't hurt me if I'm not in church, but it hurts me, you understand, if you're not in church. If I say, that's it, I'm done, I quit, and you say, well, that's okay, we can just replace you. But you can't replace me. We can't replace you. We can't replace anyone because God gifted all of us to help all of us. So we're doing and working the best we can, sure, but this thing has been a tremendous hindrance to every church, because if we are not interacting consistently with one another, we are all limited to, okay, well, I can watch the preacher on the live stream or on the Zoom, or I can just listen at my convenience from the website. Okay, well, that's, you're getting one gift there if you do that. Okay, that's all that's benefiting you, one gift. Okay, but you're missing out on all the other gifts that could benefit you. And nobody is benefiting from your gift because you're not there. You're not with them. And we'll read about those gifts in a moment. And so nobody can say my part is not that important. I'm not an essential worker in God's church. Can't say that. Not true. Because the Bible says we are all essential to us all. That's the nature of these spiritual gifts. Read some more. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Okay, which means it wasn't given to everybody. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, which means it wasn't given to everybody. To another, faith by the same Spirit, wasn't given to everybody. Okay, so here's an example. Let's take this recent situation with our worldwide pandemic. We search the Bible for knowledge in that situation, okay? We look for knowledge, okay? This is something that we never experienced before. We don't know what to do. We got people that are sick. There's people that are dying. We're told that we could all be carriers of a plague. We're told that our older people are at risk and so forth. So, and we don't know, so we've got to take... All we can do is take somebody's word for it, right? So we sit down together and we apply our knowledge with an open Bible, okay? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Okay, that's a good one. I know that's in the Bible. I also know in the Bible that when God sent plagues upon Egypt, he told the Hebrews not to go out of their houses. Well, that's in the Bible. Well, just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Okay, that's in the Bible. Okay, but I don't have any understanding to lean on because I don't know what I'm dealing with here. So let's bring in some people. Let's bring that knowledge to the table. But then what do we need to do? We need to sit down. We discuss with church leaders, with church members, with older men, older women, not young people, because they might do like old Rehoboam did, you know, my father's little finger is thicker than your father's thigh and all that business. Just let everybody die who's going to die. I don't care. I'm young. I'll be okay. So, so you try to get some people who can take the knowledge and apply some wisdom to it. Now, see, that's an entirely different gift. Then somebody's going to step in and say, you know, guys, let's take this thing to the Lord in prayer. because we've talked about it and we've run all the scenarios and we've made a plan, but we really ought to put some faith in God here, don't you think? And so we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Now, when you make a decision, people with knowledge are going to voice their opinion about that decision. People with wisdom are going to say, well, you know, that's a good point. Let's take that into consideration, and that's a blessing. Okay? Then people with knowledge are saying, why did you do it that way? And the people with wisdom are saying, well, maybe you should consider this. And the people with faith are going to say, well, have you prayed about this at all? Are you just watching the news and giving your opinions? Now, you know what we need to do? We need to value everyone's gift and make use of everyone's gift. And we're all better off because we're not all stuck following one person's spiritual ability. Knowledge, faith, and understanding, we're stronger as a body of believers than we are as a scattered collection of individuals. Okay, verse number 9. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay, so this is a great truth here, brothers and sisters. Think about this. There we were, all lost, all unsaved. The Holy Spirit united us in Christ. Then he divided us in gifts and abilities. Okay? And then he reunited us so that my gift could help you and your gift could help me. We're united in that we have Jesus Christ. We're divided in that we're all different in our spiritual life and our spiritual abilities. But we're all united in that every one of us is just as important to the work of the gospel as every other one of us is important to the work of the gospel. This is why it shows such a misunderstanding when we use terms like, I go to Bob Davenport's church. I go to James Dobbin's church. I'm a member of Alan Hearn's church. If it's James Dobbin's church, it's a disaster. If Alan Hearn is the spiritual life of his church in Albania, it's a disaster. If what we have here is Brother Bob in a room full of spectators, we're sunk. We're finished. Every saved person is as important to the work of God, to the work of God's church as every other saved person. That's what he's saying here. And so if I'm not saved, I'm no benefit to the church. If I am saved, I can benefit the church. But if I'm not actively ministering in my church, I don't benefit my church. So whether you benefit the church, it's going to depend on your participation. Y'all see that? Okay, jump to the end now. Look at chapter 12, verse number 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. Now look, if God put all these gifts in the church, but no one in the church has all of these gifts, then it's important that everybody be an active part of the church. Let's take gifts of healing for an example. Our Bible has been perverted by perverted men. And so when you think of gifts of healing, you might think of Benny Hinn the faker. Okay, or if you're older, you might think of Oral Roberts the faker, or Kenneth Copeland the faker. These guys have been claiming for 30, 40, 50 years that they can heal sick people. Talk about missing a chance to make Christ known to the world. You got COVID? Here we are. Forget turning the fairgrounds into COVID wards. Forget injecting yourself with some mystery drug. Forget stocking up on face masks. Just send 10 faith healers into every state. But no, they're just a bunch of frauds. Those faith healers, they ought to be ashamed to ever show their face again after all the people they let die from COVID. Nobody in their right mind could ever believe those guys could heal anybody after something like this happens. And where are they? They're just silent. So you say, well, what are these gifts of healing? Wait a minute. Just put some thought to this. You know what the Bible says the church is supposed to do? Comfort the feeble-minded. You know what that Bible says? It says, weep with them that weep. You know what the Bible says? Bear ye one another's burdens. Do you know there are some things that people go through in their lives that a preacher in a pulpit cannot fix? Preaching can't fix. But a friend with an arm around the shoulder and a box of tissues can fix it. You know, loneliness is so powerful. Sadness, it's powerful. Depression is powerful. Well, bless God, just listen to these sermons. That won't always do it, though. You've heard a lot of sermons after you lost a loved one. You heard a lot of sermons after one of your kids left church and got out in the world. You thought you'd raised them right, and they just ignored you. You know what got you through it, all of that stuff? It wasn't just preaching. It was the healing ministry that you availed yourself of by staying active in your church. And it was the healing ministry of people that just looked after you and checked up on you and called you. Come on. Come on. That's what a healer does. We do need preaching. I'm not negating that. But we also need all of these other things the Bible writes about here. So it's clear from 1 Corinthians 12, the chapter on the gifts of the Spirit, that everybody doesn't have every gift. That being true, we need each other if we're going to be successful in our Christian life. All right, now don't lose 1 Corinthians. We will be back there. But turn to Ephesians chapter 4, a similar teaching here. And it ought to be. It'd be a problem if it was different, right? Ephesians chapter 4. And we will start in verse number 7. Ephesians 4, 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, do you see that? Salvation. Hey, listen. Listen, salvation by grace is a gift from Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You don't earn it, you do not work for it, and you don't deserve it. It's a gift of God's grace. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Okay, so salvation is the gift that we all have. These spiritual gifts are gifts that each of us has, but they're just not the same gifts. Okay, we just have the same truth here that we saw already here in a different passage, really. Watch this, verse 11. verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay? So, here it is again. Everyone in this church, from corner to corner, from back to front, from every one of us who is saved, everyone who's saved has been given the gift of salvation by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We have also been given differing gifts by the Holy Spirit, right? And the Bible says it is because all of us need what each of us have. Okay, do you see that? My gift is not for my perfecting. It is for the perfecting of the saints. Your gift is not for your perfecting. It is for the perfection of the saints. And if you get actively involved in doing what you can for Jesus, and I get actively involved in doing what I can for Jesus, then we all become what Jesus wants to make us. Do you see that? Now, some people know a little bit something about military. Some people know something about sports. Some people know something about music, that sort of thing. So all I can do is just pick one that maybe at least some young people might understand. Let's say we're looking at a football team, and they're allowed to have 11 skilled, trained, practiced players on their defensive football team. Okay, the offense is allowed to have 11 skilled, practiced, trained players on their offensive team, all things being fairly equal. Well, if there's 11 defenders on the field and four of the offensive players say, well, I don't want to be a guard, I want to be a running back, and another one says, I don't like being a running back, they tackle me too hard, I want to be a quarterback. If seven offensive players give it all they've got, and you got those four of them that are just going to stand around because they want to be something else, and 11 people on the defensive are going to give it all they've got, well, then the defense is going to win, obviously. The defense wins. So in the world, the devil seems, from what I can tell, seems to have pretty much 100% participation on his team. God left his church in the world to counter the work of the devil. And every pastor you know will tell you, it is a constant battle to replace the dropouts, those who just decide to quit. It is a constant battle to get people that are present, the people that are present, to do what they can for the Lord and to be busy for the Lord. And then people say, well, you know, Hollywood. Well, you know, the government. Well, you know, the world. The problem is not that the world is the world. The world has always been the world. The problem is that we've got so many people that don't consider their part important for all of us to win the victory. And it is. The Bible says, I can't be all that God wants me to be without you. And you can't be all that God wants you to be without me. Because God gave me something he didn't give you, and he gave you something he didn't give me. I know you might think I'm repeating myself, but the Bible here, it repeats it, doesn't it? So, nothing wrong with that. Now, look again at verse number 13. Till we all come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Okay, I'll make this as simple as I can. I'll make it as easy as I can make it. Let's suppose that you're here this afternoon and you are hearing a believer speak the truth in love. That's very helpful to your Christian life. But if as soon as you leave here today, you go home and you turn on the internet or the television, well, you're going to hear a different wind of doctrine. So you come to church, you get blown in one direction, then you go home from church, now and you volunteer to be blown in the opposite direction. Now, I go to work on Sunday, and I'm surrounded by men who are deceived by the world. They're deceived by the flesh, deceived by the devil. And I have to listen to those guys for hours while I'm at work. Well, how do I keep from getting blown off course? Unless as soon as I'm off work, as soon as I'm off work, I start listening to truth again. Christian friends, Christian fellowship, Bible preaching in my car or on my computer or on my smartphone or in my stereo system, whatever it might be. Listen, the world's winds never stop blowing. That's a fact. Can you imagine showing up to work tomorrow and they say, today is gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, child molester, pervert day at work. And today we're going to respect the rights of perverts. And you just go, And then the next day they say, today we're going to honor our veterans. And this is the day when the military people get some recognition. Well, when is the day when you show up and they say, today is Holiness to God Day? No cussing today, no lying today, no blasphemy today. We're going to play Christian music over the PA system. You say, oh, yeah, but that would offend somebody. Well, all the other junk is offending me. Well, listen to what I'm saying here. The world is not going to stop preaching their doctrine. They're not. You need, so that being the case, you need all the wind that you can get blowing you back on course. It's almost like if you've got to work in this world, the best you can do is keep from being blown too far off track as you try to sail toward that bright and morning star. Now listen, the more times you're out there in that world, or the more time you spend out there, the more time you need to be around Christians. That's pretty common sense, isn't it? The more time you're out there in the school environment or a job environment, the less time you can afford to be in that same environment when you're not at school, not at work. A man or a woman goes off to work, or a kid goes off to school, and they're out there for 8 hours, 5 or 6 days a week. Well, we can't fix that in a 50-minute sermon one day a week. Okay? I mean, we can crank that wind up as high as we can, but man, you get a long ways off course. And then you go a whole week out of church, 2 weeks out of church, 3 weeks out of church, 4 weeks out of church. I mean, that would be bad enough, just not being in church. But, you know, it'd be bad enough even if you said, I'm not going to turn on my TV. 4 weeks out of church with no internet. 4 weeks out of church with no secular music. 4 weeks out of church without going to work around dirty people, lost people. You can't afford to be surrounded by preaching, verse 14, the influence, verse 14, of the ungodly, you can't afford to be around that, and you're going to be. if you're not balancing that by the influence and the effect upon your life of God's people. That's the Bible. That's what it says. All right, now verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every day in this world, there are terrible, terrible acts that happen to people. Terrible things are done to people. This afternoon, God forbid, we could leave out of here this afternoon. Some of us go out for some food somewhere and have somebody pull up in a minivan and push the detonator button and boom, blow that restaurant up. And then the crew will come in and my arm is over there and my hand is over there and my leg is over there and my torso is somewhere else. And then Brother James, he goes down to the morgue and says, well, yeah, there he is. Do you think that it's enough to have all the body parts? Wouldn't it be better to have all of them joined together and full of life? You know what's crippling Christianity today? It's not movies, it's not politics, it's not dirty stuff on the internet. You know what it is? Every city you can name is full of people who used to be in church, serving Jesus and praising the Lord. And now there's a hand lying over there and a foot lying over there and some fingers lying over here. And there's a knee blown out over there. The body is just scattered all over the place, all over town, in fact. There's no unity. There's no cohesion. There's no life because selfish people are not contributing to the spiritual life of others. People drop out. They say, well, it won't hurt me if I drop out. But it's not about you. God gave you spiritual gifts because I don't have what you have. And I need what you've got. And I can't grow up and be what Christ wants me to be without what you provide. Where are you? You can't grow up and be what Christ wants you to be without what I can provide. And that's why it's so important that everybody says, well, I can't do much, but I can do this. I can't do what he can do, but I can do what I can do. I can't do what she can do, but I can do what God made me able to do. And if everybody does what they can, he's got it all covered. Because he gave the church what the church needs. He didn't give every individual what the church needs. So if we're all doing our best, we can all become our best. All right, now I told you to save your place in 1 Corinthians. Go back there, this time to chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Okay, so watch. Here's two spiritual gifts. One is prophesying and one is speaking in tongues. Okay, now watch what he says. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Notice it's a small s on spirit there. Verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Does everybody see that? Okay, so here's what he said. If you can do something for the Lord that helps you, or you can do something for the Lord that helps others, do what helps others, not what helps you. That's Christianity. And then he says in verse 12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So here's what happens. A man moves to a town, or a man, he's living in a town, and he gets saved. And we've all heard the testimonies where someone said, you know, we're looking for a church. We were looking for a church, okay? People are looking for a church, and so they come to a church, and they look, and they say, what have you got for me? What have you got for my wife? What do you have for our children? What kind of nursery do you have? What kind of programs do you have? You will never, never, never find spiritual satisfaction looking for a place that is there to serve you. Because the Holy Spirit inside of you, he's not looking for that. The Holy Spirit is looking for a place where you can exercise your spiritual gifts to the help and the benefit of others. That's a fact. Your enjoyment of church is directly proportional to what you are giving to others in that church. Your longevity in a church is directly proportionate to how much of your heart is invested in the lives of the people in that church. You can find a building or a church gathering anywhere. You can't, or you can find preaching anywhere, all right? You can find good Christian music anywhere. Have you found a place where you can pour your God-given spiritual abilities into the lives of others? When you find that spot, you'll say, man, this is great. No, it's not really. That's average. That's expected. It just seems great because you're invested now. Okay, you've made yourself part of it. You're involved. He said, "Boy, that preaching has never been better. Actually, it probably has been better many times. But the condition of your heart, when you're there, saying, God bless the preacher. God help him to be a blessing because it's really going to help our church. God bless her as she sings. It's going to really help our church. God bless our outreach ministries. It's going to really help further your gospel." When you are contributing, you are enjoying. And when you are not contributing, then your mindset is, I can take it or leave it. That's the way the Lord set it up. So here's these people in Corinth, and they start rattling off in tongues, and nobody gets excited. And nobody gets a blessing. And they talk to the pastor afterwards. They say, well, I spoke in tongues and I thought it was a great thing. How come nobody got excited? Well, nobody knew what you said. You sounded like a little toddler trying out his mouth for the first time. Could you imagine that? A little baby starts blah, blah, goo, goo, ga, ga. And everybody says, oh, praise the Lord. Nobody knows what you're saying. But then he said, now if somebody could interpret that, and the interpretation was, praise the Lord, we're excited about the blessed hope, we're excited about the rapture, Jesus is coming soon, some people would get a blessing. But not everybody, because you'd have some people say, well, why didn't you just say so in the first place? Why did you have to have an interpreter? Okay? And if it's not the Bible, nobody's going to get a blessing, because you shouldn't have said it in the first place. Look, here's the point. People get blessed when they come to church and minister to others. That's right there in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14. God gave us gifts, abilities, talents, so that when we came to church, we could be a blessing to others. Isn't that great? You know, one of those gifts listed there is helps. When you came here today, there were songbooks in your seat, and you were able to just sit down and immediately get comfortable, hopefully, because someone spent 10 or 15 minutes preparing everything for the church service. And anybody could have done that, but somebody did it. Some of you are able to focus on the preaching today because someone volunteered their time and was willing to give up their seat to entertain your child during the church service, I think. Tell me if I'm wrong. But you know what that is? I mean, it happens all the time. Other churches, they got nurseries. People give up their time to take care of the nursery full of babies. But you know what that is? It's just somebody saying, what can I do to make the church service better for somebody else? And not everybody can do that. Taking care of children, that's a gift. Isn't it a blessing that people give up sitting in church to give parents a chance to focus on the preaching? You know what that is? You say, well, that's not anything as great as preaching. Yes, but without the preparing and arranging and without those willing to sacrifice their time for the benefit of others and without the other things that take place that I might not even know about, it could certainly put a real hindrance on the preaching. Amen. That's a fact. What you do helps me with the preaching. So all of us have been enabled by the Holy Spirit to do more and to be more and to do better and to be better than we would be if we didn't have the Holy Spirit. But then on top of that, he gave us the means whereby to help other people do better and be better as we allow the Holy Spirit to use us to minister to others. Isn't that a blessing? So a great church would not be a church with a great preacher or a great song leader or a great piano player. A great church would be a church where everyone was doing what they could for the other people in the church, not for themselves. Because that would be a church where everybody is growing in a way that everybody could not be growing if it was all dependent upon just a preacher. Does everybody see that? You agree? That's Bible. Now, there are books and there are courses. Maybe you've seen them. There's studies and all this stuff about how to find your spiritual gift. And what is your spiritual gift? Well, it's real easy. It's real easy. You don't need a book. You don't need a course. You don't need to sit down with a trained professional. It's real easy. Here's what you do. Do everything that your church does, and you will find what God has enabled you to do. And do that one. And the only way to find out what you can do best is to find out what you can't do best. I'll give you a quick example of that, and then we'll be done. Again, before this craziness started, you know what a tremendous ministry would be? And I've done some of it, but a tremendous ministry, just go visit people in the hospitals, pray for them, read to them, listen to them. It's a tremendous ministry. But you know, not everybody can handle that. There have been Christians who tried it because they could see how visitation in hospitals would be a great ministry. But when they got there and saw blood coming out of people through tubes and other liquids going into them through IVs. They took one look at that. They passed out cold on the floor. And now they need hospital care. So obviously these are people who can't take, they can't even take it to seeing a needle going into somebody's flesh. You know, so obviously that's not everybody's gift. That would be one they would want to stay away from. And so that's not where that person could best serve in the body of Christ. So they need to keep doing other things until they figure it out. So you understand, that's how it works. That's what you need to do. Try everything, and by process of elimination, you will find out what it is that you can really do for God. And then do it. And we'll all be better for it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you did give us the Comforter, that you gave us spiritual gifts to benefit the body of Christ. Help us, Lord, to, I pray that you'd help everyone here, if they don't know what their gift is, that you'd help them to start doing some things that will help them to figure out what that is, that they might be a blessing to the rest of us. And Father, we just pray that you would strengthen this church as you allow all of us to start ministering to one another and utilizing the gifts that you've given us. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day they would look to him and receive him and thank him for salvation and receive him as their Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.